Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed Ches, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom. As we discussed in the previous shir, the Torah, when it speaks about the Issa Chadosh, uses the words Chukas Olam L'Doris Seichem B'Chomash V'Seichem, and we spend time in understanding what the word B'chol Mosh V'Seichem means. And the Gemara offered two interpretations. Either B'chol Mosh V'Seichem means wherever you live, or B'chol Mosh V'Seichem means Lach Yerush V'Yeshiva. After Klal Yisrael entered at Yisrael, 14 years they conquered and divided the land. The Torah is telling us that the din of Chadosh only begins to apply after those 14 years. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Lamadam Moshev, Kom Makam Shatam Yoshev Mashem. According to the explanation that the word Moshev means that wherever and whenever we live, we have to follow the rules of Chadosh. Hanediksiv, that we can understand what the Pasuk says in Yehoshua about when Klal Yisrael arrived in Eretz Yisrael. V'yachlu me'avor ha'aretz, they began to eat from the produce of the land. Mimachres ha-Pesach, from Tes Zayin Nisan, when the Karban ha-Omer is brought. And the Pasuk is teaching us, Mimachres ha-Pesach achoil, only from Tes Zayin Nisan, when the Chadosh becomes permitted, then may you begin eating that produce. Mikara, prior to that, Layachol, because the din of Chadosh applies all the time. Alma, obviously, Akrav Omer, the Pasuk is teaching us that first we have to wait for Tes Zayin Nisan to come, and that we should bring the Karban Omer, and then, and only then, for Hadar HaKoyel, could they eat from the new grain and no longer have the Issur Chadosh. So what did they do with eating matzah that year? So the Mefarshim explained that they brought along with themselves tefuah, they brought along tefuah, the produce that was yashan, in order that they could use that to bake matzahs, or that they bought produce, they bought grain from the various merchants, from the non-Jewish merchants that they found in Eretz Canaan that was not chadosh, that they could eat it. However, as is apparent from the Yerushalmi that Tosfos quotes, the Yerushalmi obviously holds that they did not eat matzah that year. And in fact, the Yerushalmi asks, why did they not eat matzah? What they could have done, shouldn't the essay of eating matzah be doicha the lois essay of eating chadosh? So the Yerushalmi offers two answers to that question. One answer is, the mitzvah to eat matzah was given before Har Sinai, before Kabbalah Satorah. The Isser of eating Chadosh was only given at Har Sinai. The rule that essay doicha lois essay cannot apply to an essay that was given before Kabbalah Satorah, superseding a lois essay that was given after Kabbalah Satorah. And the Marit explains why. He explains, because what is the basis of the concept of Essei Doicha Lois Essei? He says, Essei Doicha Lois Essei is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all the mitzvahs Essei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all the mitzvahs Lois Essei. So to speak, he wrote the rules, and the rule that he set forth is that Essei, a mitzvahs Essei, Doicha Lois Essei, should be Doicha Lois Essei. But that's only both rules were given at the same time. So now I need to know what to do. So the Torah tells us Essei Doicha Lois Essei. However, if the essay was given before Kabbalah Satorah, and the Lois Essei was only given after Kabbalah Satorah, so those two rules weren't given at the same time, and then the concept of Essei Doicha Lois Essei would not apply. Explain the Pnei Yeshua and the Hamakna. If so, if the essay were an essay that were repeated after Kabbalah Satorah, or at Kabbalah Satorah, then the concept of essay doicha lois essay would apply. Or if the essay and lois essay were both said before Kabbalah Satorah, again, Even if we follow the Yerushalmi with the Marit explanation of the Yerushalmi, the concept of Esay Doicha Loisasei would apply. Another answer Tosfos gives is that for the first Kazayis Matzah, they could have eaten Chadash because of Esay Doicha Loisasei. The problem is that they may eat more than one Kazayis. They only have the Heter of Esay Doicha Loisasei for the first Kazayis, not for any further Kazayisim. So I saw the Mefarshim ask, there is a machloikis, if one is mekayim a mitzvah with every kazayis matzah that he eats on Pesach. And there are poskim that follow that opinion. So why are we saying that there's only a mitzvah on the first kazayis, and therefore we're concerned about he may come to eat a second kazayis? Even the second kazayis is a mitzvah. Answer the Mefarshim that there are two types of mitzvahs. There is a mitzvah which is known as a mitzvah kiyumis and a mitzvah chiyuvis. A mitzvah kiyumis is a mitzvah that if I fulfill the mitzvah, I get a mitzvah. I'm not obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. A mitzvah chiyuvis is a mitzvah that I'm obligated to fulfill. Even if we'll say that for every kazayis matzah one eats on Pesach, he gets a mitzvah, it's only a mitzvah kiyumis. By mitzvah kiyumis, we certainly don't say Esa Doicha Loisasei. But then the Stipler asks that if one is eating matzah, and he's not being exact, that he's only eating kazayis, isn't that all included in one achilas matzah? So what is Tosfos saying? That we're concerned he's going to eat more, even if he eats more. It's all one achila. And if it's all one achila, if we're going to apply the concept Esay Doicha Loisasei, we should be able to apply it. Answers the so the Stipler attempts to say a teretz, but he himself says the teretz isn't correct. He says, absolutely, if while the person's eating matzah, he's eating more than a kazayis, then we wouldn't have a problem because Esay Doicha Loisasei. What we're concerned is that he's going to eat, be mekayim the mitzvah, stop eating, and then start eating again. And on that new achila, since there is no mitzvah involved, it's only a mitzvah kiyumis at best, and we would not be able to say Esay Doicha Loisasei. But the Stipler himself says that this teretz is a difficult teretz, because the Stipler says, we know that once one eats the afikoyman, once one is mekayim achilas matzah, he can't eat anymore. So there is no concern that he's going to stop and start again. But then the Stipler discusses another question. He says, the Gemara says, in Masechta Tmura, that we may evloi shamosha, while Klai Yisrael were in Avelis for the Ptira of Moshe Rabbeinu, nishtachu sholosh meirish halachas. They forgot 300 halachas, and amongst the halachas they forgot were shiurim, the exact shiurim for the various mitzvahs. So he asks, maybe that's the issue. They didn't know exactly what the shiur is. They only have, even if we'll say Esay Doicha Loisasei, Esay Doicha Loisasei only helps us for what they have to eat, for not anymore. Answers the Stipler a beautiful teretz. When the Gemara Masechta Tmura says that during the you may evlo shamosha, they forgot shiurim. He says, which shiurim did they forget? The shiurim of Isser, of what you're not allowed to do. Why did they forget those shiurim? Because, says the Stipler, they anyway never ate davar asur. Now, let's say there's a shiur of machlos asuris, how much you may not eat. So obviously, they forgot. They really weren't ever that familiar with that, because they never ate Macholos Asuras. So during the May Evlo Shamosha, they forgot that. However, something which they were obligated to do, like what we're discussing, Achilas Matzah, that they certainly is a mitzvah to say, and that they obviously remembered even be May Evlo Shamosha. The Paiskim discuss, based on the discussion that we just had, question comes up on Shabbos. We know on Shabbos there's an obligation of Oinik Shabbos, that one has to eat on Shabbos. And let's say the only food available to someone on Shabbos is Macholos Asuras. Should we say that the mitzvah of Oinik Shabbos should be Doicha the Loisasei of Macholos Asuras? So the Paiskim say, based on the Yerushalmi that we just quoted, that perhaps the first kezayis we would be allowed to eat on Shabbos because of Eser Deichalaisa say. The problem is, you're not allowed to eat the second kezayis, and that's why we can't eat anything that's also on Shabbos. Prima Gadim gives a different answer. The Prima Gadim says that the Achila, the Pasuk says, "V'kros l'Shabbos oinig l'kadosh Hashem mechubed." What is the Pasuk teaching us? Says the Prima Gadim. "V'kros l'Shabbos oinig." You know what is an oinig Shabbos? L'kadosh Hashem mechubed. If it involves kiddush Hashem. But if your oinig Shabbos involves chilul Hashem, then that's not oinig Shabbos. The karaso of Shabbos oinig. The only thing that is considered oinig Shabbos is l'kadosh Hashem when we are being mekadosh Hashem, not chas v'shalom when we're doing averus being mechal Hashem Shemayim. Another teretz that I saw is as follows. We know that the concept of esay doicha loisasei is only applied when they're happening at the exact same time. So the esay overrides the loisasei. However, if the essay and loisa say don't happen at the same time, then we don't apply the concept of essay doicha loisa say. When one eats macholos asuris, he's over the aveira as soon as the macholos asuris are in his throat. Oinik Shabbos, he only has when the food is in his stomach. So we don't have the essay and the loisa say coming at the same time, and therefore, we can't apply the concept of essay doicha loisa say. So they didn't have, according to the Yerushalmi at least, any produce that year to make matzah from, and they didn't eat matzah. So the question is, they had mun. So why didn't they make mun into matzah? We know that mun could taste like anything we wanted it to taste. So they should have had mun have the taste of matzah. So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer is that the only food that is kosher to be matzah is food that could become chametz. Flour and water can become chametz. That's what you make matzah out of. Mun can't become chametz, and therefore it cannot be used for matzah. Another teretz that I saw is that mun is matzah ashira, and we can't be mekayim mitzvahs matzah with mun. Another teretz that I saw is that there's a discussion what bracha was made on the mun. And most mefarshim say that the bracha that was made on mun was hamoytzi lechem min hashamayim. You couldn't make hamoytzi lechem min haaretz because the mun didn't come from the earth. So that's why, say the mefarshim, we couldn't use mun because a matzah was supposed to make hamoytzi lechem min haaretz, and a mun we can't make that bracha. However, says the Gemara, El Amanda Amma Lach Yerush V'Shiva. According to the Amanda Amma that says that when the Torah uses the word Moshav by Chodesh, it comes to teach us that that thing will only apply after the 14 years of dividing and conquering Eretz Yisrael. Nechal Ater, they should be able to eat the new produce immediately. Answers the Gemara, absolutely, they could have eaten the new produce immediately. However, lo have a tzrichi. They didn't have to eat the new produce immediately. The ksiv, v'nei Yisrael ochla saman, asam abram shana, abram el eretz neshavas. We're going to explain the Gemara like Rashi explains it. That they ate the man for 40 years until they arrived, el eretz neshavas means until they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. Asaman ochlu, abram el eretz ktseret kanan, until they came to the border of the land of Canaan, which is Aver Hayardin. Ask the Gemara, the Pasuk is somewhat self-contradictory. We can't say that they ate the man until they were off Eretz Yisrael. They ate it until only till they got to Avar Yarden. On the other hand, we can't say that they only ate the man until they arrived in Eretz Canaan. They ate it until they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so how do we reconcile these two psukim? B'shiva ba'adam meis Moshe. The Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter on Zion Adam. a pasuk man layrit, and the man stopped coming down. And they ate the man that they had in their vessels at shish asa b'nissan until 16 days in Nissan. So they ate the man. So in other words, they truthfully could have eaten from the new from grain that they had in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, that was what was used to eat. That was what was used to make matzah. But they preferred the man, and therefore the rest of their diet was man. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it in such a manner that they had left the over man for 40 days? Why didn't they just stop having man? So Mefarshim give two explanations. One explanation is that these 40 days that they ate the leftover man, they were under the leadership of Yeshua. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give Yeshua schar, a reward, for the 40 days that he stood by the mountain waiting for his Moshe Rebbe, for his Rebbe Moshe to descend. So for 40 days they ate man under his leadership. Another pshat that the Shem Shmuel says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that the man was such a fantastic food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want that they should go from eating man to eating regular food. So there was a gradual decline. First they ate, they had man every day. Then they had leftover man, which is not as good as fresh, everyday delivered man for 40 days. And then they ultimately went to regular food. And in fact, Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, we could see this concept in the pasuk, because the pasuk says es haman achlu, the pasuk we just quoted. It wasn't the real man, it was a derivative, it was leftover man. It wasn't as good as the real man because it was these 40, it was a way to wean them off the man during these 40 days. The Farshim ask, we know that the pasuk says, we're not allowed to leave over man. So how can we have leftover man for 40 days? So the Brisk Rav answers, that when does the halacha of apply? He says, that's man that comes, when man is coming every day, there the Torah teaches us, don't leave over man. But here the man stopped coming. When the man stops coming, there no longer is a rule of apply. Another answer I saw to this question is from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says, although, as we just quoted the pasuk, we're not allowed to leave over man, that is only, there is an exception to that rule. Man that fell on Friday, by definition, was always left over, because they used that man that fell on Friday on Shabbos also. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter on Shabbos. That's why we say Tzidkoscha Shabbos by Mincha. Since Moshe Rabbeinu was nifter on Shabbos, so what man was the leftover man that we're discussing? Man that fell on Friday. Man that falls on Friday, the din of Leisusim and Abayker does not apply to. So I saw from the Apta Rav, he says, our Gemara is the basis for a well-known minig. The minig many people have is that Shabbos after Pesach, they bake challah in the shape of a key or with a key in it. It's known as shlissel challah, key challah. And it's known that baking this challah is a skula for panasa. And the question is, what is the origin of this minig? Says the Apta Rav, it's based on our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that they ate the man until Pesach. People who are eating man, lechem min ha-shomayim, are eating, they don't have to worry about panasa. They have their panasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them food every day. Klal Yisrael, that Pesach, stopped receiving the man. So the first Shabbos after Pesach, now we have to start worrying about panasa. We're not getting man every day. We know that the Mafteach, the key for panasa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps for himself. So that's why the Shabbos after Pesach, when we stop getting the man, we have to stop being mispalel and start worrying for panasa. Tanya idach, Ovnei Yisrael achlu haman abam shana. Klal Yisrael ate the man for 40 years. Is the question of chia b'shanim achlu? Did they eat it for 40 years? V'leibam shana chasu shloshim yoyim achlu. The man did not start falling until they had left Mitzrayim for 30 days. a similar concept. Ugoish Yitzim Mitzrayim, the cakes that they took along with them when they left Mitzrayim, Tamuba and Tamar had the same taste as Mon. Tanya Idach, we learned another brisa. B'shiv ba'odah meis Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Zion Odah, or b'shiva odah noilad, and he was also born. Asked the Mefarshim, we need to understand the wording here. A person is born before he dies. So why does it say first his death, and then his when he was born? So the Arizal says, G'daylim tzadikim misasim yosim b'chayayim, tzadikim come to a high madrega after living a life of doing Torah and mitzvahs, and therefore the Bryce speaks about his death before his birth. Another pshat, as we're about to begin learning the Gemara is going to show us that how do we know what the date was. So Gemara first proves it from when he was from the day of his death, and then we say that was also his birthday. So that's why the Mefarshim say, since we're first going to prove the day of his death, we mention Meis Moshe first. B'nayin shebishiv ba'odah Meis. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mifter on Zayin Odah? Shenema v'yom esham Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu died in Moav. V'ksiv v'yifku b'nei Yisrael as Moshe ba'avis Moav shlosh v'yayim. And Klai Yisrael mourned him. V'ksiv v'hi 30 days. V'ksiv v'yachri Moshe Eved Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch was speaking to Yeshua, telling him that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, you now will lead Klal Yisrael. The Ksiv Ivru Bekarav Machna, go through the camp, the Tzavas Ha'am Lema Hachinam, tell everybody to get themselves prepared. Ki Ba'oit Shloishim Yoyim Atam Oyim Sayadein, in 3 days you will pass the Yardein. V'ksiv V'om Olam An Yardein Besel Chodesh Rishon, and what was the date that this happened? On 10 of Nisan. Same man Shloishim Shloishim Yoyim Afreya. So if we deduct 33 days back from 10 Nisan Halamanata, we see Shavishiva Ba'odah Meis Moshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu passed away on Zion Odah. 33 days before Yod Nisan is Zion Odah. Ubanayin Shavishiva Ba'odah Noel Moshe. So how do we know that was also the day of his birthday? Shenemar Yom Alayim Ben Meiv Esm Shon Ha'noicha Hayoyim Le'ucha Oid Lotzes Ulovay. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can no longer lead you. Shein tam aloim hayoyim. Why does the pasuk say hayoyim? Ma tam aloim hayoyim. Malamed shekadosh baruch hu yoshev malish nesayim shel tzadikim miyoyim liyoyim umechodesh lechodesh. Hakadosh baruch hu makes that person should die on the day he was born. Shenemar as mispa yimecha amalei. Moshe Rabbeinu knew, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that he was going to pass away because tzadikim, he says, 40 days. Before they actually pass away, the neshama starts to recognize that it will be leaving the world. The Yerushalmi in Masechta Rosh Hashanah says that it was the custom that when they would go out to battle in those days, they would take soldiers who to fight that it was their birthday. Because a person on their birthday has an excellent mazel, and therefore they were chosen to be soldiers. Says the Shiori Karbon, that our Gemara is teaching us that Tzadikim, Klal Yisrael, and not under the mazel, and the day of their birth is actually the day that they pass away. Another way of understanding the Yerushalmi, I saw from Chaim Kanievsky. Chaim Kanievsky suggests that a Tzadik going on to the next world is actually not a bad thing. A tzaddik going on to the next world is actually a good thing. And therefore on the birthday, which is a good day, is the day that the person comes to the Olam HaEmes, to the Menucha. So Mefarshim ask, if, as our Gemara just taught us, a tzaddik dies on the day he was born, how can we find that so many tzaddikim did not pass away on the day that they were born? So Mefarshim explain two explanations. One shot is that when a person is born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees how many years he will live. So if a person lives only those years, so then he dies on the day he was born if he's a tzaddik. But if a person lives more days than that, then actually, if Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him extra days, then the halacha is, then this rule doesn't apply. And many tzaddikim are given extra days. Another pshat that I saw is that a tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu, was born exactly, the tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu was born exactly with all b'shleimus. As the Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Nisbala Habayis Oira, the entire house became full of light. So he, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, as Mispa Yamecha Amalei. However, a tzaddik that only becomes, works in himself, and only becomes a tzaddik later in his life, the count only starts to begin from when he actually becomes a tzaddik. Tanya Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omer. Shalosh mitzvot nistavi Yisrael b'kinisos l'aretz. Three mitzvot Klal Yisrael were commanded when they entered Eretz Yisrael. V'nayhagos, and they apply bein baretz bein b'chutzlos, both in Eretz Yisrael and b'chutz l'aretz. V'adin shinhagu, and logically we could prove that they should apply. We're talking about chadash, orla, and klayim. Because a mach chadash, if chadash sheni suray Yisraelim, it's not asur for always. It's only asur until tezayin nisan. Veini sur isra hano. There is no isra hano from chadash. V'yesh hetir l'sura. And furthermore, it can become permitted. Bringing the carbon oimer, as we learned at the beginning of our shir, allows one to eat chadash. Noig bein baris bein b'chutz laretz. And yet, as we've learned, applies chadash applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz laretz. Klayim. So klayim, which is isur nisr oilam, klayim are usur forever. Visur nisr hano, and the isur klayim is the isur hano. V'ein heter lisurim. There's never a heter for klayim. And a din shinahagu be'aretz be'bechutz. They should certainly apply both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz laretz. Continues the brisa for who a din, and the argument that we're making regarding klayim shouldn't be applying both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. We can make, at least in 2 points, the same argument regarding L'Orla B'Shtayim, why if Chodosh applies in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, certainly Klayim, certainly Orla applies in Chutz Laretz. What is the one argument that doesn't apply? Because Orla also Yesh Heti L'Surai, which Rashi explains to me, that after 3 years, one may eat the fruit that's Orla. However, Tosfos takes exception with Rashi's pshat, because Tosfos says all is not permitted after 3 years. The fruit that's 3 years, that fruit is never going to be permitted of the first 3 years. It's new fruit. So how do we understand Rashi? So Tosfos explains what the Gemara means here is the fruit of the fourth year, which technically is Orla. It's still not permitted to be eaten. However, it's revai; it can be redeemed. Whereas klayim cannot be redeemed. Another explanation is that klayim, we just finished explaining, one may not plant klayim. Orla, and actually the same applies by chadash, may be planted. You're allowed to plant a tree. You just not eat the fruit for the first 3 years. You're allowed to plant Chodosh, you're just not allowed to eat it until Tezayin Sivan. Another pshat is that Orla, when is it considered a year has passed? Tu Bishvat. We know that Chazal can manipulate the calendar. So by Orla, which depends on Tu Bishvat, by Chodosh, which depends on Tezayin Sivan, Tezayin Nisan, I mean, those dates can be manipulated by Beis Din. On the other hand, klayim is usur under all circumstances. There is a discussion amongst the paiskim if one may do business, if one may sell chadash. I saw from Rav Moshe Sternberg in the Shalos of Tshuvas and Haggis, he says that there is no isur to sell chadash. On the other hand, I saw from Rav Vosner, the Shas of Tshuvas Shevet Alevi, he suggests that there's at least an Issur D'Rabbanan. And I saw that the Daki Tshuva wants to make a distinction between produce of Eretz Yisrael concept that we discussed in the previous year, the data may be an Issa Chadosh to sell Chadosh versus produce from Chutz Laretz where there is no Issa Chayra with Chadosh. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, however, Omer, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon disagrees with his father, and he says the following: Ha mitzvah shenisav Yisrael kaidim knisas laretz, any mitzvah the Klal Yisrael were commanded before they arrived in Yisrael, that noheges bein ba'aretz and bein b'chutz laretz, applies both in Yisrael and in chutz laretz. Lach knisas laretz, however, any mitzvah that they were only given after they entered Yisrael and in a heges el ba'aretz only applies in Yisrael. Chutz min hashmatas k'safim shluch avadim, the din that shmita cancels all debts, and the din that by Yovel all Ivries have to be freed. Even though they were only told about them after they entered the Tzorah, as the Gemara will soon explain, they apply both in Tzorah and Chutz Laretz. However, according to Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, Chadosh, Ola, and Klayim, given that their mitzvahs are tluyos ba'aretz, do not apply in Chutz Laretz. Ask the Gemara, Chashmatas Ksofim, Chayvus Agufi. Chashmatas Ksofim has nothing to do with the ground. It has to do with a personal obligation. So why isn't automatically included in the din that they apply in Chutz Laretz? Why did Shimon ben Elazar have to teach them? In other words, as Tosfos explained, what would make Rabbi Elazar of Shimon think that Shmitas Ksofim should only apply in Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, and it's chalak Tanya, because what we learned in the following brayso, the brayso says the Tanya Rebbe Omer v'zeh dvar hashmita shmoit. So the pasuk uses the word shmita twice. B'shtei shmitas akasim adaber. The pasuk is speaking about two different shmitas. Acha shmitas karka v'acha shmitas ksofim. Shmitas karka, shmitas ksofim. To teach us, b'zman shat meshamet karka, when shmitas karka is applicable, that's when atam sham ksofim, shmitas ksofim is applicable. Bezman shiatam sham karka, when shmitas karka is not applicable, for as when we weren't yet in Eretz Yisrael, yatam sham ksofim, shmitas ksofim is also not applicable. Ask the Gemara, the Ema, perhaps the way to understand the Braisa is to teach us from makam shatam shamit karka. Only in Eretz Yisrael, where shmitas karka is applicable, there atam shamit sofim is shmitas sofim applicable. However, from makam shein atam shamit karka, in a place outside of Eretz Yisrael, where shmitas karka is not applicable, ein atam shamit sofim, shmitas sofim should not be applicable. Answers the Gemara, Tamaloima, Kikara Shmita La Hashem, become Makam. And as the Rishayim explained, it makes more sense to say that Shmita's Ksafim should be applicable everywhere, because as we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, Shmita's Ksafim is a Chayvus Haguf, and as we learned in the Mishnah in the previous year already, anything which is a Chayvus Haguf applies everywhere, versus saying that it should only apply in Eretz Yisrael, a Chayvus Haguf ought to apply everywhere. Ask the Gemara the same question regarding what Rabbi Elazar of Shimon spoke about Shluch Avodim. Shluch Avodim, Chayvus Hagufi. Shluch Avodim is a personal obligation. So why do I need to teach us that they apply in Chutz Laretz? Answers the Gemara. Sa'akadat Chamin, Hoyle V'ksiv, across in Durava Eretz. So the Pasuk speaks about freeing the Avodim. And Pasuk mentions Eretz Yisrael, so we would think Ba'aretz in B'chutz Laretz Loi, that this then only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Laretz. Tamalaymer Yovel he become Makom Yovel, it applies even outside Eretz Yisrael. Ask the Gemara Im Kain Ma Tamalaym Ba'aretz. So why does the Pasuk indeed say Ba'aretz regarding Shluch Avodim? To teach us, Bezman Shadroa Noig Ba'aretz, when Yovel is applicable in Eretz Yisrael, Noig B'chutz Laretz, that's when we have Shluch Avodim, that's when we have, as we learned earlier in Amasechta, the whole concept of Eved Ivri only applies when Yovel applies. Ain't Dra Noig Ba'aretz, when there is no Yovel in Eretz Yisrael, ain't Noig B'chutz Laretz, the concept of Eved Ivri and the corollary concept of Shluch Avodim does not apply. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hossam, We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Orla. Hachadosh Asur Min HaTor B'Kol Mokom. Chadosh is Asur everywhere. This is the Mishnah we quoted yesterday that clearly seems to indicate that Chadosh even applies in Chutz La'aretz. Orla is a halacha. V'klayim is Medivrei Sofer. Ask the Gemara, my halacha. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that Orla is a halacha? Amar Yehuda Mishmul, what it means is it's Hilchas Medina. It's a Hilchas Medina, which as the Mefarshim explain, it's a minig, and it's not as serious, and therefore, as the Rishonim explain, it's even weaker than a Rabbanon, and if somebody would violate it, they would not receive Makis Mardis, they would not be called an Avaryad. Ulama Rabbi Yochanan Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. It's a Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai that all applies in Chutz La'aretz. And Rav Chaim Brisker questions, what does the Gemara mean when it says that all is a Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai in Chutz La'aretz? Are we to understand that the din of Orla in Eretz Yisrael, the din of the Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai teaches us that not only does Orla apply in Eretz Yisrael, but it even applies in Chutz La'aretz? The same Orla that applies in Eretz Yisrael also applies in Chutz La'aretz? Or are we to understand, it says Rav Chaim Brisker, that there's a new din? There's a Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai which teaches us that there's a din of Orla in Chutz La'aretz, but it's not the same Orla that we have in Eretz Yisrael. It's a different Orla, a new Orla which applies in Chutz La'aretz. Actually, the Poskim want to suggest that it's really a Machlokes Rishonim, these two options that Rav Chaim Brisker sets forth. And in fact, what would be a nafka mina between these two approaches? Would the din of Revai apply to the produce of Chutz La'aretz? If we say that the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai extends the Orla of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, so as we said earlier, included in the din of Orla in Eretz Yisrael is also Revai, and therefore Revai would apply in Eretz Yisrael. If on the other hand we say that it's a new Orla, it's a new Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, new din, so perhaps only Orla applies, not Revai. Amalei Ula Rabbi Yehuda. Bishlam l'ledi. So Ula says to Rabbi Yehuda, according to my opinion, that mina Halach l'Moshe M'Sinai, that I set forth that all is Halach l'Moshe M'Sinai, Hainu the Shonilon, we could understand what the Mishnah differentiates between Safak Orla and Safak Klayim. Given that Orla is Halach l'Moshe M'Sinai, Halach l'Moshe M'Sinai has the status of a Doraisa, and we could understand what a Mishnah treats Safak Orla more stringently than it treats Safak Klayim. The Tanan, as the Mishnah teaches us, Safak Orla ba'aretz asur. Safak Orla is asur in Eretz Yisrael. B'chutz b'Surya, we know that Surya is an area of a kibush yachid. David HaMelech captured Surya, and kibush yachid lo yishmei kibush. Why? Some say because he captured it before all of Eretz Yisrael was conquered. Other Rishonim say because he conquered it without consulting with the Urim V'Tumim. Others say that when he conquered it, his original intention was not to give it the full-fledged din of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Surya is less stringent than Eretz Yisrael, and it's mutter. B'chutz La'aretz, yored v'lekeach, and Chutz La'aretz, one, outside of Surya, anywhere else in Chutz La'aretz, somebody could go down and collect, b'lach yored v'lekeach. That means, according to Rashi's explanation, one can ask a guy in Chutz La'aretz to collect or to go to a field where he knows there are orla trees. According to some Rishonim, even if he knows that the entire field is full of orla trees, a very big kula, as long as I don't see it, Mavad, as long as I don't see the guy doing it, and then I could eat that produce. That's the approach the Rashi learns Agamar with. That's the approach we're going to use. The Ran and the Meiri take a different approach. They say the difference between Surya and the rest of Chutz La'aretz is that in Chutz La'aretz, one could even enter the field that has all the trees and buy fruit from the guy, even if There's a real concern that those fruits may be coming from all the trees. Whereas in Surya, I'm not allowed to enter the field to buy the fruit from the guy. I could only buy it from him outside the field. However, says the Mishnah, Vilagab climbed to Nan, Karmanatu Yarak, Vyarak Nikum Chutzloy, if a vineyard has vegetables planted in it, and the vegetables are being sold outside the vineyard, Barretz, in Eretz Yisrael, it's also, because in Eretz Yisrael, Klayim is in the Sederaisa, but Surya, we're more lenient, Mutter, but Chutzlar, it's yours, Veloy Kate, I'm allowed to have the guy pick the vegetables, even though there's Klayim in the field, Uvvad, Shoyuk Abiyad, as long as the Jew doesn't pick the Klayim himself. So we see, the Mishnah treats Klayim more leniently than it treats Ula. So according to Ula, that Klayim is only Drabonon, and Ula is a Halacha Moshe Sinai, it's a Daraisa, we could understand this. However, asks Ula to Rabbi Yehuda, El Didoch, that Ula is also only a Hilchos Medina. So they should have the same din. Nisni, oizev zev yard v'lokeach, oizev zev yard v'lokeit. They should have the exact same din. Answers the Gemara, actually you're right. Homle, Shmuel Ravanan, Shmuel said to Ravanan, Tani, we should learn in the Mishnah, oizev zev yard v'lokeach, oizev zev yard v'lokeit, that indeed the din of Arl and Klaim should be identical. Ma berei du Ravna, masna l'kula. He had a lenient ruling in both cases, both by Arl and Klayim, saying Zev is a yard v'lekeat uvach l'yukat biyad. In both cases, you're allowed to have the guy pick the produce as long and see him do it, as long as you don't do it yourself. And as the Rishonim explain, we are not to necessarily understand Ma'barei de Ravna holding that Arl is only a Hilchos Medina. And that's why he takes a more lenient approach to treating it. Rather, explain the Rishonim, it could well be the Ma'barei de Ravna holds that Ola is a Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. But even though that's a Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai was said that we should treat Ola in Chutz La'aretz leniently. Meaning that we should treat Ola in Chutz La'aretz and allow even allowed to see a guy collect the Arla as long as we don't collect it ourselves. The Paiskim discuss regarding a subject that we discussed earlier in our Shia, that B'Shiva Ba'Adar Meis Moshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu we said died on Zion Adar. There is a custom in many communities that people fast on Zion Adar, particularly people who are members of the Chevra Kadisha. And the question is, in a leap year, which Zion Adar should they fast? Should they fast on Zion Adar Rishon or Zion Adar Sheni? Because the halacha is that unless the person from one someone he's holding a yard site actually die also in a leap year, on Adar Sheni, our meaning is the person commemorates a yard site in Adar Rishon. And therefore, the minik by most people is that in a leap year, they hold Zion Adar, the fast of Zion Adar, and Adar Rishon. However, the Yavetz and many other Paiskim say, based on the Gemara we learned in today's Shir, that they should really hold Zion Adar Sheni. Because our Gemara proved that when the Moshe Rabbeinu died, we deducted it from 10 days in Nisan, going back 33 days. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu died in the Adar closest to Nisan. That's why the Yavetz and many other Paiskim suggest that Zion Adar should be commemorated in a leap year in Adar Sheni, not in Adar Rishon.